I better let the kids go for junior church, right? Kids, you are dismissed to go to junior church, fifth grade and under. You can go right now and be back there with Mr. Don and Miss Renee. I think it's them this week. And they will have a great time back there. Here at North Point, we are committed to growing spiritually, to sharing the gospel with others, living our lives in fellowship, and loving each other. Those are what we're about and what we're trying to put into everything that we do and everything that we are. And we're beginning a new series in the summertime that we're going to be doing on the fruit of the Spirit and what that means in each of our lives. And this is going to be part of our growing phase that we're in, because one of the things that we want you to understand is that the fruit of the Spirit are spiritual qualities that God wants you to have into your life. And this morning we're going to do a little bit of an introduction to the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 23. And it reads like this: "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives..." It's kind of the key to the whole thing right there. "When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law." Paul gives us a list of things that are supposed to be growing out of Spirit-controlled lives. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, one of the things that you should be doing in your life is allowing the Holy Spirit to control you on a daily basis. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit wants to be in control of your life? He wants to be the one that you run to for your source and for your strength and for everything that you need in life. And Paul says, when the Holy Spirit is in control, here's how you know it: He produces fruit in your life. Now, Jesus and Paul in the New Testament often use the motif, the picture of a farmer, of a gardener, because just about everybody in their culture was a farmer or a gardener. They raised their own crops. They raised them for their own food. Some of them were commercial farmers that raised food to be sold. But everybody, even if you were a merchant in town, you probably had your own garden and your own produce that you made in order to survive and in order to supplement your food supply year-round. And so Jesus often used these pictures of a farmer in order to illustrate what the kingdom of heaven is like. And this is where he's doing that once again. And so what I want to do is to talk about being fruit-bearing Christians. What does that mean? What does it mean to grow fruit and be prosperous in your life? And we're going to look at a piece of scripture in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, in the first several verses, we're going to read those together. And it says this: "I am the true vine." Jesus is talking here. And he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." So you got the picture now. It's a grapevine. Jesus says, "I am the true vine." That's the main stem that's there. And he says, "My Father is the gardener." And he says, "He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they'll produce even more. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me." This is the first kind of introduction into this idea of fruitfulness in John that Jesus is talking about. And right away you see that there is an expectation of fruitfulness in the Christian, in the follower of Christ. Some of us have gotten the idea that maybe we've grown to maturity and we're all set and everything is fine and we're not going to change. Well, that's Jesus. That's not you. That's Jesus. Jesus is fully mature. Jesus is never going to change. The Bible says that God says, "I will never change. I am always going to be the same. I have reached the zenith of my potential." God has achieved the ultimate. That's why He's God. We haven't. We always have room for more growth, more fruitfulness, more of Christ, to grow more spiritual. No one ever arrives in this life. And so we should be looking forward to more fruitfulness in our life, towards producing more fruit. Now, we're going to talk in a few minutes, and we're going to ask the question, are you producing any fruit? Because there's implications to that too. But right off the bat, Jesus wants us to know that we should be producing fruit. That is His goal for us. And you'll see that one of the ways that Jesus calls us to be more fruitful is through the process of pruning. If you've ever had a garden, if you ever grow flowers, you know what this means. When you deadhead flowers, you take away the old dead heads, and that makes room for more production of flowers. You have to remove things. You have to cut things back. We had raspberry bushes, and every year we would have to take away the old canes so that the new canes could come up and produce fruit. If you have fruit trees, you are well acquainted with the process of pruning. And Jesus says He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. And He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they produce even more. Right away we're confronted with this kind of a process of pruning that's there. And Jesus divides it into two categories. He says, first of all, if you're not producing fruit at all, you're worthless, and so you're going to get cut away. Now that's pretty harsh language. I mean, he elaborates on this in a little while, but Jesus is saying this: if you don't produce fruit, you're going to get cut off the vine. Now that's pretty harsh language. I mean, when we think about that, that's saying produce or die, really, is what He's saying. Produce fruit or get cut off, one of the two. But there's a second process of being cut off in there, and that is the kind of cutting off that produces even more fruit. He says He prunes all of the branches that are producing fruit. Why? So that they'll produce even more fruit. Now, there's a couple of things that you've got to understand about this. First of all, pruning is a painful process of cutting anything away that's going to hinder fruitfulness. If you're a grape farmer, if you're a peach farmer, if you're an apple farmer, if you're a licorice tree farmer, I don't know, whatever kind of fruit you want to bear, you know that you can't just leave that tree alone and it's going to produce fruit year after year. Eventually, it's going to get all tangled, it's going to get fruitless, it's just not going to produce fruit anymore. And so what does the wise farmer do? He goes back and he prunes off all of the dead branches, and then he deadheads, he cuts away those branches that are producing so that they'll produce even more. You know, one of the things that we go to the apple farm down in Fenville every year and gather apples. How many of you do that, by the way? That's kind of a fun process down there to do that. But one of the things that amazes me about that is how small the trees are relative to other trees and how much fruit is born on those small trees relative to great big trees that are just let go. The smaller, not the smaller the tree, but the smaller trees that have been pruned and cut back bear loads of apples, and sometimes those trees are just bending under the weight of all the apples that are there because it's been cut back, because it's been pruned. That's not a painless process for the tree. As a matter of fact, there's a little bit of risk involved in that. But pruning is a painful process of cutting away anything that hinders fruitfulness. Listen, let me tell you something about following Christ. You know, we talk about the blessings of Christ, and they are many, and I'm not saying that there are no blessings in following Christ. But the cost of those blessings is the sacrifice of anything in our life that doesn't produce fruitfulness. You know, there's a calling to sacrifice, that giving up process. We want to add things to our life, but God, the master gardener, is in the business of desiring that we be more fruitful. And in order to be more fruitful to Him, we need to cut away the things that are hindering the fruitfulness in our lives. And I really want to kind of hit this hard this morning, because I think it is a key that the church is missing today, that individual Christians aren't really catching on to. The Christ life is a sacrificial life. It is the echoing of Jesus' words in the Garden of Gethsemane: "Not my will, Lord, but yours be done." And too often in the church world today, we are living a life that says, God, I want my wishes and my dreams fulfilled, and that's what you're here to do. You're to make my life easy and convenient and fun, and God, it's not fun, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Well, maybe you're looking at it wrong. Maybe you're looking less at sacrificial living, and you're looking more at selfish living. Those are the two ways that we live. And God calls us to a life of sacrifice. There are things in your life and my life right now that Jesus wants to take away because they're hindering fruitfulness. It might be the way that you entertain yourself. It might be some of the things that you're allowing in your mind that battle against the things of God. There might be things that might seem normal to other people and to the world around you, but Jesus is poking you in the ribs and He's saying through His Holy Spirit, there is some pruning that needs to be done in your life. There are things that are not helping you. As a matter of fact, they're hindering you, and I want to take them away so that you can be more fruitful for me. You see, what do you want to be fruitful for? Do you want to be fruitful in the things of this world, or do you want to be fruitful for the kingdom of God? Then a second thing that this implies is that pruning is a lifetime, a long-term experience. Every year, the tree gets pruned. They don't skip a year. They don't do it once and good for all eternity. Every year, that farmer has to go through that tree and he has to cut away anything that's prohibiting fruitfulness for the kingdom of God. You're never going to stop getting pruned. God is not going to stop pruning your life because He loves you too much. He wants you to be healthy and strong and fruitful for the kingdom of God. Are you fruitful for the kingdom of God? If not, I would ask yourself this question. What do I need to get rid of? What is God speaking to my heart about to get rid of? Do I need to stop watching TV so much? Do I need to stop going to movies? Do I need to stop all that stuff that is hindering me and filling my eyes, my brain with ideas that are not godly at all? What do I have to give up? What do I have to sacrifice in order to be more fruitful for the kingdom of God? Jesus' life is a life of sacrifice, and it is an ongoing process. It continues all the time. You know, if you go to a California vineyard where they produce some of the world's best wines, you notice that the first year the vintner plants shoots in the ground. If he wants to build a vineyard that produces good grapes, the first year he'll put shoots in the ground. Not from seeds, because shoots seem to grow stronger vines. And after the first season, those vines grow up. But what does he do at the end of that first season? He cuts them back. He doesn't get any grapes. He doesn't produce any harvest. He cuts them back. And then the second year, they grow back. And he does the same thing again after 2 years. He cuts them back so that they'll go stronger. And then at the third year, after the third year is the first year that he'll have any viable grapes that he wants to harvest. But the wise vintner will leave those clusters on the vine. And it's not until the fourth year that he brings in his first harvest. But that harvest is going to be bountiful. It's going to be strong because he did the pruning that needed to be done. And even then, a good vintner won't taste his wine for 4 to 7 years or maybe even longer because it has to percolate, it has to age. And you know, there's a long-term process that's involved in there. As a matter of fact, most people who go into the wine business do not even break even for the first 15 years of their existence. It just takes that long to get everything in order and like that. You see, that's God's perspective of our lives. God is looking down upon us and He's saying, okay, I'm going to prune that out of Joe's life because I want him to be more fruitful. I'm looking and I'm saying, I don't think I need to lose that, God. I would prefer not to be pruned, thank you very much. I'm growing good. Everything's fine. Put the shears down. But God very lovingly says, nope, this has to go. This has to be taken away so that you can be fruitful for the kingdom of God. Joe, you can't see 15 years down the road, but I can. And I want you to be the best bunch of grapes that you can possibly be for me. I want you to be as fruitful as you possibly can be for the kingdom of God. You know, God uses that pruning process and He wants us to see it from His perspective, not in ours. And then Jesus says this. There we go. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. We need Jesus. We need Jesus every day of our life. And this sounds almost more like a warning than an encouragement, because the consequences of not bearing fruit are dire. He says, remain in me and I in you, because you can't bear anything if you don't. And then he says this, well, what does it mean then to remain in Christ? Well, it means that we find our source, our strength in Him. You remember the picture? Jesus is the vine. He's not the plant. He's the vine. And as long as those shoots, which are you and me, are found in Him, are connected to that vine, then we're able to bear fruit. If we separate ourselves from that vine, no fruit, no life, no nothing. It means that we're connected to Him, that we have Him as our source of life. Now, this is important, because you can get your source of life from a lot of different places. You can get your source from a lot of different places. You can get your source from your hobbies. You can get your source from your job. You can get your source from your status. You can get your source of life from your income and from the things that are around you. There's a lot of things that can be the source of your life, and we never even really think about them in that way. Sometimes our future is our source. Young people, you've got a great future ahead of you in Jesus Christ, but you can get so caught up in planning your future and what you want for your life that you leave God out of the picture. I want you to find your source in Christ, not in your future, but your future in Christ, in Him. He has a grand plan for your life, and He wants to use your life in a way that brings glory to Him. And I would encourage you, as you're thinking about and planning your future, put that question first. Jesus, what do You have in store for me? If I surrender myself to You, what will You do for me? I'm trusting God to raise up pastors and missionaries and people who give themselves to the work of the Lord from this congregation. We've already had a good number that have done that. I want that to continue. I want us to be constantly sending people out into the ministry, into the kingdom. Lola's just the latest one in a string of people. Pam's on her missions trip to Brazil. Pam Austin is on her missions trip to Brazil. We've got pastors that are here that are looking for places of ministry that God is going to place them. God has a plan for your life, but He wants to be your source, not your future. He wants to be your source of everything that you are. Then Jesus goes on and He says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Let's just think about that for a minute. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. That's a sober warning, folks. That's Jesus talking. Now, if you're mad about that, if you don't like that, don't get mad at me, get mad at Jesus. He's very blunt. He tells the truth. He tells us what we don't want to hear sometimes in order that we can learn and grow in Him. But if you are separated from Christ, if you're not bearing fruit, you're useless. That's what Jesus calls it, a useless Christian. Yes, there are such things as useless Christians. And they're Christians who are taking in all the time, but never producing fruit. You see, that's not what we're called to be. Are you producing fruit for the kingdom of God? Are you producing the things that we just talked about in Galatians? Or are you stuck? Are you satisfied? Are you in one spot? There's a time of separation that's coming. I don't know when that is. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how all of those things come together. But there's a point where the master gardener says, this one's not producing. It's time to cut them off. I don't like that. I would rather have God just be loving and kind and say, oh, we'll coddle you along and don't worry, you just keep sucking off the vine. You just keep taking in. We'll just let it go. No, the master gardener is rather ruthless in his pruning of the branches that are there. The ones that produce fruit are pruned back so they'll produce even more, and the ones that are useless are cutting off because they're not producing anything. There's a difference. So Jesus says that, but he also says, but If you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted. My true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father. You know, there's a couple of thoughts in there that I want to kind of draw our attention to this morning. First of all, he says, you are the vine, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, this idea of bearing fruit requires a proper understanding of your relationship to Jesus Christ. If you don't have the right relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And anything that doesn't produce fruit is going to get cut off. If we remain in Jesus, it says, we will bear much fruit. I like that phrase. We're going to bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. If you're not bearing fruit, what does that say about your relationship to Jesus Christ? It says it's not right. And so that's why that question of bearing fruit is important this morning. It is an indicator of spiritual health. Are you growing in Christ? Are you producing fruit? Are you a fruitful Christian? Because if you're not, you need to make some radical changes in your life or you're in danger of being cut off from the vine. And I don't want to see that happen to you, and you don't want to see that happen to you. But you've got to be in relationship with the one that is the true vine, with Jesus Christ. If you're not abiding in Christ, then what are you abiding in? Well, you know, I'm running into more and more people who call themselves Christians who claim to have a relationship with Christ, but they're constantly negative. They're constantly talking about how bad life is and how terrible things are and how hard things are and how things never seem to change. And they become more and more cynical. And I would suggest to you that your comfort and your source and your abiding place, if you're in that boat, is not Jesus Christ, but it's cynicism and rebellion. And it is possible to find comfort in cynicism and pain and suffering and rebellion. There is a point that happens in people's lives where they become so negative that negativity becomes the most positive emotion in their life. You get that? Where negativity becomes the most positive emotion in their life. And whenever stress and trouble and trials and tribulation comes into their life, they don't run to Jesus, they run to negativity. And because it's a warm friend. Don't be deceived. Negativity can become a warm friend to you. A familiar face. Something that you're used to. Something that you feel comfortable in. And folks, if that's your source, you're in deep, deep trouble. Jesus wants to be your source. Jesus wants to be the source of everything. In the Message, John Peterson's translation of Jesus' words in John 15:7, here's how he puts it. If you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. In other words, He wants to be our comforter. He wants to be our friend. We must find our home in Jesus Christ, not in the things of this world, not in negativity, not in pain and suffering. You know, there are some people that can go through the same experience, and you get up one morning and you ask one of them, how you doing? And they will tell you, I'll tell you, it just stinks to be me. You know, I don't know how much more I can take. It's all over. You know, every time I wake up, there's something more that's on there. And you just walk away feeling like, oh, man, life sucks. Oh, I said sucks. I'm sorry. That does offend some people, and I'm sorry if that offended you. You know, you just walk away kind of feeling heavy-handed and like the world is on your shoulders. You find somebody else and they wake up in the morning and they say, God, I thank you for another morning. It beats the alternative. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you that I'm breathing air. Thank you that I'm here. Thank you for my family. Thank you. You know, they just have a totally different attitude. What's the difference? It's where they find their comfort. They find their comfort and their source in Jesus Christ, and they bear the fruit of that. You walk away from people like that, feeling uplifted, feeling overjoyed. You know, I got to tell you, there are some folks that I love to go visit on a regular basis. They're going through trials and difficulties, but I walk away feeling uplifted when I go and see them. It's just amazing how that works. When you have Jesus as your source, you bear the fruit of that source. If you don't have Jesus as your source, you bear the fruit of that source. And then he says that he wants to be that one that is your life. If you abide in me. That word abiding is a long-term word. It means that the default mode of your life is to run to Jesus. It means that when trials and tribulations and difficulties come, you run to Him and you find your strength and your comfort in Him. Not in the negativity that surrounds this world. We get our advice, we get our source, we get our strength from people who are strong in Christ. And so Jesus warns us that if we stay in Him, we'll find that source that we need. But He also gives a warning. He says, anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. It's a common illustration in Jesus' world and even in our world today. When you trim a tree, you throw the branches away. They're useless, they're worthless, they're dead. And they need to be burned. That's the best thing that you can do with them. The difference between a pruned branch and a dead branch, one is for greater harvest, the other is just gotten out of the way so that you don't infect the whole vine. Are you bearing fruit for the kingdom of God this morning? And then Jesus says that His true disciples are the ones whose words remain in Him. Do you remain in Christ? Where is your default mode this morning? Are you bearing fruit? Does your life bear witness to the hope that is within you? Do others know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Or do you blend in? Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say, just blend in and don't make a fuss about things. Nowhere does it say that. It says, be a world changer. It says, stand out in the crowd. Be a light in a dark room. Be the salt in your casserole. Make a difference in your world. That's bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. And so I want to close this morning by asking you that question. Are you making a difference? Are you bearing fruit? We're going to talk about this in more kind of detailed information over the next several weeks, over the summer. But folks, if we're not making a difference, what good are we? What good? Do you want to be pruned or do you want to be cut off? There's a difference between the two. Maybe God's speaking to your heart this morning about some things in your life that don't glorify Him. They might not even be bad things, you know. I mean, if there are bad things, you want to get rid of those right away, you know. But some things in your life that are just kind of mediocre, they really don't matter at all. They're not really sin, but they're not really saintly either. But God is saying, get rid of that mediocre stuff in your life. Shoot for the best. Make me the center of your life. Don't make you the center of your life. Make me the true vine in your life. Not your own comfort be the true vine in your life. Come to me. Come to me, Jesus is saying. Make me that true vine that you draw everything from. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. I want you to ask yourself that question this morning. Am I being fruitful for the kingdom of God? And then don't just say yes or no. Tell me why. What is fruitful about your life? Are you seeing others come to Christ? Are people coming to you with questions? You know, I noticed you're a pretty spiritual guy, and I just wanted to talk to you about something. Is that happening in your life? Do people ask you questions like, where do you get your joy from? I mean, you're always such a happy person. Are you fruitful? If not, let's get that way. It's a choice that you make. And we're called to be fruitful people in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we close our time together, we ask that you would draw us into that fruitfulness, that place of fruitfulness that you want us to be. God, if there's any